approach our subject this morning. As we said yesterday in our meeting, I've been thinking about prayer all week, and we talked about prayer some yesterday. And I want to notice this morning, for some reason, the book of Daniel has come back on my mind, and just pray the Lord will be with us and bless us as we notice Daniel chapter 6. As we think about the condition of our nation today, as we think about the condition of churches and families, as we think about all that's facing us, and it's already been mentioned, some in our songs, some in prayer, it's already been mentioned. We're in battle, or at least we ought to be. There's a battle raging for the spiritual health of God's people. And God has given us everything we need. Now let me ask you a question. When you think about Daniel in the Old Testament, do you think of a super saint? Do you think of somebody that was able to do something far beyond anything that we could do today? Or do you realize that he has the same God, he has the same faith, he has the same enabling that we do, and we've got the Bible today? He didn't have all of that. He had a little of that because over in chapter 9, he was reading Jeremiah's writings. But Jeremiah was prophesying to a very similar culture, wasn't he? And so again, we have a similarity here that God enabled one to be faithful to him and be a blessing to many. And we have the same opportunity today. Now, primarily, I want to go through, I hope that we can make it through this chapter. But there's some lessons that I'll touch on as we go through, but I want to come back and refresh your mind at the end about some of the lessons that we can draw from this wonderful chapter. Also, some other passages in the New Testament that very possibly Daniel's writings could have been the inspiration for that. At least, in the very least, they're in perfect harmony. Now, God's Word has a lot of that, because all of God's Word's in perfect harmony. But we'll get to that in a moment. But in Daniel chapter 6, by the way, how old was Daniel when we get over to the den of lions? Anybody have any idea how old Daniel was? Was he still that teenager that purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat? Oh, we'd had a little time passed since then, hadn't we? But I suspect that a lot of times as we're reading through Daniel, we've got the mental picture of a younger man, one who was faithful to God very early in his captivity and in his service to the king. But listen, there had been about 50 years that had passed from the beginning of the book of Daniel until now. He had served under several kings. You know, he served under Nebuchadnezzar. And then, now my reference, when we get over to Belshazzar, the reference in my Bibles and a lot of the commentaries says that Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And the one in between, the son in between, the Bible doesn't make mention of him. History records that he was one that was more interested in going out and attending to his hobbies than in attending to the affairs of state. So you got one of those kings that left it to anybody else. So Daniel served faithfully under Nebuchadnezzar, and then there was another king, and then there was Belshazzar, and then we've got a couple more that's going to come in the service while Daniel is in service to them. So as best I can tell, and from the dates that I can gather, Daniel, when we come to chapter 6, when he is going to face being thrown into the den of lions. He's been in service to the king about 50 years. Wow. And very faithfully in service to those kings. Now, the story of Daniel to the young mind is exciting and interesting. To the spiritual mind, it's inspiring, isn't it? It's encouraging. And to all of us, it's instructive. There's great lessons. But don't think of him as some super saint that does things that we couldn't do today. We have the same God who would bless us just as much for our faithfulness today as Daniel was blessed in that day. Now, evidently, there was some work that the Lord had for Daniel to do that may not be ours to do. But bless your hearts, if we would be faithful to God in everything that we do, we would be just as blessed. Do you believe that? Thank you. We would be. We would be just as blessed today in being faithful to our God. All right, let's begin. Daniel chapter 6. Please, Darius, to set over the kingdom and 100. Oh, by the way, this Darius has just taken control of the known world, the empire at that time. It had just been taken from the Babylonians. Belshazzar had his party, and there was the handwriting on the wall, and part of the interpretation of that was that the kingdom is taken from you. And it was that night. That night. All right? So Darius, he's a Mede, the Medo-Persian Empire. Darius now has come to the throne over the known world. And by the way, remember now, this is a tremendous position that Daniel is in. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if we had somebody who had such power over world affairs as Daniel had in his day, a man that feared God and lived faithfully and did according to what was pleasing to God, no matter what the laws of the land were? Wouldn't that be wonderful for us to have today in such a high place of authority? All right, so Daniel is in service to this new king, Darius. He's already served Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and the one in between. And now his character, evidently, was so well known and he was so respected that this new king that comes in is pleased to keep him in a position of power. Now, we can see the providence of God in this, can't we? But I'm going to tell you something. There was a lot of faithfulness. There was a lot of praying that had already gone on. He'd been in that position for 50 years. And he'd been faithful. And God had blessed him. All right. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Daniel's a Hebrew, and yet such influence as this. All right, Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. All right, so Darius has set up this form of government and placed these men in places of authority over the whole realm of the known world at that time. And we're describing here just how that was structured. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Did you get that? An excellent spirit. Obviously, it was the Spirit of God. But obviously, he served God. And he was a praying man. We'll learn that in a minute, won't we? He was a praying. We already had seen in the book of Daniel that he was a praying man. Prayer is a powerful thing, isn't it? All right. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Uh-oh. Not all's rosy in the kingdom, is it? There's jealousy here. There are those that perhaps they want power. Perhaps they want influence. Perhaps they don't like what Daniel does. Perhaps they don't like the way that Daniel goes about doing his business. You see, it's clear, and I'm not preaching Daniel today. Now, I'm preaching Daniel's God. But here's a man that was faithful. All right? So here's a man that's faithful to God and faithful to the law of God and doing things that would first and foremost please God. And you know there are going to be those in this world that are not anxious to participate in that. Matter of fact, as we see some of the character of these men, we'll see they're willing to be deceitful. They're willing to do things underhanded. There's a lot of that in the world, isn't there? Okay. Then these presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You get that? What if someone would put a microscope on our life? What if we were in that position? Could we get by so well? Oh my. Afraid we'd come short. I would. I'm not going to accuse you, but I know I'd come short. All right? But more than praise to Daniel here, look at the faithfulness. Look at the godliness. And look what happened. It drew enemies. Do you know it'll do the same for you today? You keep trying to do what's right. You keep trying to do what's godly. And there are going to be those that don't like that. And as a matter of fact, if they see you being preferred, they're going to be jealous of you. There's going to be envy. There's going to be strife. There's going to be that contention. All right? Didn't Paul say, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution"? We see those things coming upon Daniel simply because he's faithful. All right? Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Did you catch that? His? What I get from this is it's not their God. It's Daniel's God. They're not willing to follow this law, but Daniel is. And Daniel's in authority. And they don't like that. And so while, and they knew, here's a difference. Here is a difference that they can zero in on, and they can find some way, because Daniel is different, they can find some way that they can accuse him to the king. Pause right there. Daniel's God was not their God. Now let's kind of take that principle and impose it on our culture today. Because I'm getting the message. Maybe I'm just dense, but I'm getting the message that our God is not the God of many who are in power in this nation today. I feel a little bit better. I think some of you have gotten that message too. Our God is not the same God of those who are in power in our nation today. So if you stop and think about, well, maybe their God doesn't have the same idea about abortion as our God. Maybe our God, or maybe their God, doesn't have the same idea about sodomy and homosexuality as our God. You see where I'm coming? See where I'm getting to? They don't operate on the same set of rules. They don't have the same God. They don't have the same instructions that we do and that we're supposed to be following. They're marching to a different drum, so to speak. Their God is not our God, and their God is not the God of Daniel. So they saw a difference, and they're going to look for a way to accuse Daniel before the king because of the law of his God. You know, I wouldn't desire persecution upon anyone. But if it comes because we're being faithful to God, let it come. Let it come. You look down through history and you see that the church has grown more under times of persecution than in times of prosperity. Prosperity is really an enemy to spirituality. Oh, if we could, I don't wish for persecution, but if it comes, it may redound to the glory of our God, who has been shunned, who has been pushed out of every public place, who has been blasphemed, who has been sinned against, who has been anything you can think of, this nation has done to our God. And it's only because of the mercy and the long-suffering of our God and His care for His people that are still here is the reason why this nation still stands. The mercy and long-suffering of our God. But you can see evidence that it's crumbling, can't you? You can see evidence of God's judgment upon us. All right, so in verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together and to the king and said unto the king Darius, live forever. All the presidents, now listen, listen to what they're going to tell the king. All the presidents, is that true? This is being done without Daniel. So it can't be all, so they lied already. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Well, if everybody's doing it, it's got to be right. If everybody's in favor of it, it's got to be the right thing to do, right? Oh, how many times we're confronted with that kind of thinking in this world today. And to make a firm decree that who, by the way, decree. I've got a little note here on that word decree. An interdict is what my reference says. And it's only going to be for a short time. He says, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Here's something that's going to be forced upon certain people. And it's only good for 30. Why only 30 days? Well, they felt like that was enough time. That as faithful as Daniel was to his God, there'd be an opportunity for them to find something that they could accuse to the king. That's the whole purpose of this, isn't it? Doesn't it sound so good? Under their system, you know, you sign this decree that no man, you know, nobody can call upon any god or man except thee, O king. Boy, that they knew how to butter him up, didn't they? They knew how to press that pride button to get him to sign on to their way of thinking. And by the way, everybody is in favor of it anyway. So see how they subtly, deceitfully tried to get their point across. And they were successful, weren't they? All right. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. That was their law. Once they passed a law, you couldn't go against it. That was their law. Is that God's law? Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Okay, they were successful in convincing him this was the right thing to do. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, you know the way that's worded? Evidently, he had some idea that this was brewing. And so, being in the responsible place that he was, he would see what decrees were coming through and requiring the king's attention. But listen, I want you to see what Daniel does in response to what's happening here. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Now, pause right there. Did he protest? Did he claim, look, I'm being framed here. I'm a victim. Well, we hear a lot of that today. Did he go get legal counsel and try to sue him and go to the courts and try to get things changed? Was he going to fight against the law? Oh, we see so many protests today. We see so many things, challenges. What we see in this chapter is a pattern for all of God's people to take heed to and follow it. So what did Daniel do? Now that he knows about this decree, and he knows the penalty, he knows what he's going to face if he goes against this decree. And when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Here's a tremendous lesson for all of us, for our young people, and for those of us who are not so young. Remember this. What Daniel did in praying to God in his time of trouble was not something that he just started. You know, so many times we take the position where when trouble comes, that's when we get real serious about our praying. Right? Now, I understand that getting more serious, but the point is, we ought to be praying all the time. Just like Daniel, when trouble came, he went to his chamber, he opened his window toward Jerusalem, and if you remember back in 1 Kings, when Solomon prayed that prayer of dedication, and he talked about when anyone would pray toward Jerusalem, even if they were a captive in a foreign land, if they would pray toward Jerusalem, he asked God to hear them and help them. And that's what Daniel did. He knew where his help was. He knew who his helper was. He knew what he needed to do every day that he lived. Not just when trouble came, but every day this was the pattern of his life. And it ought to be the pattern of our life. And he says he prays 3 times a day. See, what is it? Psalm 55, 17. David says, evening and morning and noon, will I pray unto thee. Well, let's see now. That's a little different than what we would say, isn't it? We'd say morning, noon, and night. Isn't that the way we would put it? But to a Jew, you can understand, if you know the day with a Jew, you can understand why he said evening and morning and noon would he pray. Because with the Jews, the day began at 6 o'clock in the evening for us. That's when their day began. And so in principle, according to the way the day is laid out, we regard it as morning, noon, and night. David said in Psalm 55, the evening and morning and noon will I pray. And so we find Daniel following that pattern. We find Daniel praying as he had aforetime. Now, if he's going to pray as he had aforetime, not only is he going to keep the pattern of three times a day, sounds like to me he's already been praying effectually. It sounds like to me that he's already been very serious about his prayers every day he lived. When you get up in the morning, when you're ready to start your day, do you know that you're not going to have any trouble that day? There may be some times when you might be expecting something, sometimes we have some inkling about that. But the point is, we never know when our troubles are going to come. Wouldn't it be better to be serious about our praying all the time? Wouldn't we be closer to the Lord and having a better frame of mind as far as His will for us and the direction that we need to go if we were praying like that all the time? Wouldn't it be a blessing to us and our families and our friends and our co-workers and all if we prayed like that all the time? You get the point, don't you? It'd be good for us. Oh, we'd be closer to the Lord. Oh, we'd be walking in His will, doing those things, be more acquainted with His will and doing that which is be pleasing in His sight and not filling up the lust of the flesh so much. All right? So he did this as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They've got their accusation, don't they? That's all they need. They've seen Daniel break the decree that the king has just signed. All right? Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, we've already heard that once, haven't we? Now we hear it again. We're going to hear it again. It's interesting to me, this thought that they had such a high opinion of themselves and their culture that their laws could not be altered. You know, it sounds like to me God's going to show them that their laws can be altered. You know, just like when Nebuchadnezzar asked those three Hebrew children, and who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? Well, God showed him. God allowed him to see him. Didn't just put it in his mind. He allowed him to see that God who is able to deliver him out of his hand. All right? Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, that Hebrew that you've got sitting on your highest position in the council, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king. Is that true? No. Daniel was faithful. Daniel was doing what was right. But they're accusing him, and they're accusing. Accusations are always embellished, aren't they? Oh, it's 10 times worse than it really is, according to their words. All right? regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed. Now that's true. He didn't regard the decree that was signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with Daniel. Is that what it said? Okay, those that are following along know that. He wasn't displeased with Daniel. Daniel was his right hand. You will find in studying this, if you don't know it already, this man Darius bore evidence that he is a child of God. He had tremendous respect for Daniel because of what Daniel was doing. The king was not sorely displeased with Daniel. The king was sorely displeased with himself. He realized he had been tricked. He had been treated deceitfully. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He's between a rock and a hard place, isn't he? He has to obey his own laws. At least he was that ethical. But he was treated deceitful. He was deceived. He was beguiled into signing that decree. He's in a tough place. All right. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That's good words, isn't it? But wait a minute. When you keep reading, to me, they're just well wishes. You know the story. You know what's about to happen. This king is not going to confidently wait for Daniel to come back up out of that den of lions. He's not going to get a wink of sleep all night long worrying about it. Now, I believe that there's evidence here that you can see that Darius was a child of God. But he's got some growing to do, doesn't he? Just like the rest of us. Just like the rest of us. So don't get too hard on him. All right? But we see a faithful presentation here. All right? So the king commanded. They brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. The king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually. Oh, would it be that could be said about every one of us? Wouldn't it be wonderful that if everyone who knows us and knows you well would say, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he's going to take care of you. Darius knew Daniel was faithful to God. Darius knew that Daniel served God continually. So the king enforced the decree. He delivered Daniel to the den of lions. Now, evidently, this was their method of their method of choice as far as executions. So evidently, you know, just think about this. If some of you've read, I'd like to chat with you about it, if you've read how they went about this. But, you know, it just stands to reason that when there's going to be an execution, that they would make sure that they hadn't fed the lions as good as they normally would. You know, you want to keep them strong, you want to keep them healthy so that they can do the job, right? But you also don't want them to have been just well fed when you get ready for them to do their job. The king delivered Daniel. He's in the den of lions. But between the lions here, God is at work. Oh, the law of the Medes and the Persians may not be, can be altered by as their opinion. But God is about to show them that this God whom Daniel serves continually is able to alter their laws. He is bigger than the king of the Medes. How about today? Is the God whom you serve continually able to do that today? If you're serving Daniel's God, he's still able to do that today. If you're trusting in something else, it's not going to happen. But if you're trusting in Daniel's God, he's still the same today. Don't you love that song? We haven't sung it in a while. He's still the same today. He's well able. And by the way, he knew every bit of the deception that went on with those presidents and those counselors and all of those people who put this upon Daniel. God was already aware of it. God's already at work. Okay? So it says, verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. You know what that means? Don't touch this. I've done it, the king. The king has done it, and all of the power of the king is behind punishing anybody that tries to undo what's been done. Not only did the king put his own signet on it, with the signatures of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. Why would they bring instruments of music? Well, that was to help soothe their mind and help them to sleep. He didn't even want that. He was fasting and didn't want the music to be brought. And his sleep went from him. Didn't get a wink of sleep. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. By the way, I haven't made this point, but you understand, it is a den of lions, not just a lion's den. The lions are home, okay? There are lions in there, all right? And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. There was feeling in this. He didn't just make a loud cry. It was lamentable. He was concerned. He was wondering, is this God able to deliver Daniel? Is Daniel's religion real? We have a law. Our law can't be altered. But his own words had said, thy God whom thou servest continually will deliver thee. Is it true? Could it be true? How many times did they use that den of lions? And I suspect every time, it had been successful in carrying out their condemnation of someone. But this time, even the king himself said, it's not going to work. Now, we don't know how much he believed it. He didn't sleep all night. He had a lamentable voice. He was calling upon Daniel, and he said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God." Wouldn't you like to be known that way? "Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" I wonder if Daniel paused a little bit. You know, we would have, wouldn't we? "Is thy God able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." Why didn't you just say yes? Daniel has respect for this king. Daniel shows honor to this king. But he's a heathen. My persuasion in studying this passage is that Daniel had seen evidence that he believed God, that he appreciated the godliness in the way Daniel lived. "O king, live forever. My God," not the God of those presidents, not the God of the Medes and the Persians, "my God." Aren't you proud of your God? And I want you to, you use that word proud. I know we have to be careful and guard ourselves about how we use that word pride. We can be proud of our God and not be ashamed of him. He's done so much for us. Bless your hearts, we ought to be going home and telling our friends how great things God has done for us. Our God. Because he's able. "My God." Daniel's about to tell them two things, two great things that God has done for him, and two great reasons why. All right? "My God has sent his angel." Was that help? Absolutely. That's what we need when we're in trouble. I mean, and listen, I don't know how deep that den was, but as soon as they cast Daniel in, that's when he needed the help. You're going to find that later on. All right? That's when he needed the help. "My God has sent his angel." Has God ever sent his angel to help you? Has God ever sent his angel to be a blessing to you? Has God ever sent his angel to protect you and to help you in your time of trouble? You think he'll do it again? Isn't he good? Aren't you proud of your God? "My God," Daniel says. Not some lofty title. "My God, the one who saved me, sent his angel." That's the first thing he did. He sent his angel. And in our times of trouble, that's what we hope our God will do for us. But if we've been trusting in some other God, that God's not going to deliver us. This God can deliver. In every trouble, in every trial, in every heartache, in every problem, he can deliver us. Because he's the one true and living God. He sent his angel. Secondly, "and hath shut the lion's mouth." You know, lions are known as the king of beasts, aren't they? They're strong. I was at a meeting recently, and one of the brothers that had been over to Africa, he said all the times that they'd been, there was one time that they had a little time in between services, and they took a safari. And he said that they, this is relevant, by the way, they said they came to this river, big, huge river, and this huge herd of wildebeests, which I hope you know what a wildebeest is, because I'm short on description, but he described it like a small horse, you know, kind of big around the front shoulders and smaller in the back, but a wildebeest. I mean, good size animal, like a small horse. And you could see off in the grassy areas along this river, these lions crouching. You know why? It's also why Peter says, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion. Now, these lions are crouching and they're quiet. They're going to pounce on their prey. But the point I'm getting to, and by the way, when those wildebeests would see the lions, they had this sound that they would make to alert the others. We need to be alerting one another to the dangers that lurk around us, don't we? But the point is, when that lion would pounce on that animal, even though that animal was bigger than the lion, that lion had the strength with his jaws and to hold on to that and just lift it off the ground and walk off with it. A lot of strength. This, you know, it wouldn't have taken but one lion, would it, to execute Daniel? But we're talking about the help that our God is able to supply. And when Daniel needed it, God sent his angel. And he shut the mouths of the lions. And he stopped them from doing what these men had designed to be done to him. It didn't matter what the law of the Medes and the Persians were. God overruled. And God can overrule today, can't he? See, Daniel wasn't launching protests. He wasn't a crying victim. He wasn't doing all these things that we hear so much of today. He was trusting God. That's where his trust was. That's where his confidence was. In trusting God. Not only in trusting God, but in serving God. And that's important, isn't it? Not just having the mindset that we want to trust God, but doing something about it. Actively serving God. Not with a dead faith, like James chapter 2, verse 18 talks about. Not with a dead faith, but showing our faith by our works. Isn't that what Daniel's doing? He's praying to God. He's trusting God. He's depending upon God to deliver him in his problems. And God delivered him. God blessed him. All right? So the two things, God sent his angel and God shut the mouths of the lions. And then we're going to find that he gives two reasons why God did that. He shut the mouths of the lions that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. This is the first thing, even though there's two parts to it. Innocency was found in him. Which means before God. See, God looks on the heart. That innocency was found in him. Not just the works that he was doing, but it was in him, in his heart. In other words, he was trusting God. He was serving God. He was depending upon God for his safety. Innocency was found in him and before God. The king, and this one is big. Not only was innocency found in him, in other words, he was a good person, we might casually say, but innocency was found in him before the king. In other words, as he went about doing his job, he did what was right. He was faithful. He wasn't taking advantage of the king. He wasn't taking advantage of his power. He wasn't taking advantage of privileges that he might have. He wasn't fudging about things. He was being faithful to God, and the king knew it. That's why it grieved the king so when he found out what had happened, because he depended upon Daniel to do what was right. That's why he put him, don't you think? We're speculating here, but the king wanted to put Daniel over the whole realm. Don't you know he had confidence? Daniel had a long track record, over 50 years of faithful service to the king, even while he served his God. So innocency was found in him and before the king. What does that say for us as we go about our jobs, as we're doing the things that we're called upon to do, as we take care of our responsibilities in this life? We need to do it faithfully, because God sees it all. And when it comes time for us to need some help, bless your hearts, when we've done faithfully, God's right there for us. Right there. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him. Not just glad, exceeding glad. And commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. See, not only do the lions have powerful jaws and teeth, they got claws. But no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. That's what it says. Innocency was found, and he believed in his God. Now, don't just go over that quickly. He believed in his God. What does that say? Not just he had the persuasion in his mind, but that his actions flowed out to show his belief in his God, his trust in his God, and his dependence upon his God to keep him, even when others wanted to do evil against him. So innocency was found, and he believed in his God. He had a long track record of faithfulness. Isn't that good? We could do the same thing, couldn't we? Oh, somebody might say, "Oh, preacher, I've messed up too much." God can give us a fresh start today. If it's the burden of your heart that you've not done what you ought to have done, but you feel conviction over it, he can give you a fresh start today. And you can have a wonderful opportunity. You know, Daniel served the Lord, first and foremost, under several kings for many, many years, didn't he? 80-something years. All right. Because he believed in his God. That expression says much more than just what he thought in his mind. But it carried through to what he did with his life. Remember, I may not quote this just right, so let me turn to very quickly James 2 and verse 18, I believe it is. James says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." By my works. May God see our faith, or may God help us that others can see our faith, not by just words, but by our actions. By our works. Okay? All right. The king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up. Okay? And there was no hurt on him. Then verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men. Oh, now wait a minute. Daniel's had no hurt from being in this den of lions. But now the king commands that they bring, they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Wait a minute. Don't I have the right to live my life the way I want to? Actions have consequences. And what these men did brought destruction upon their own families. I want to let that sink in for just a minute. Look at the contrast here. Daniel being faithful to God under several kings, a long track record of being faithful to God and doing what was right, which resulted in being a blessing to the whole kingdom. But these other men, through their deceit and their wickedness, brought destruction upon themselves and upon their children and upon their wives. Isn't that awful? No, we don't have the right to follow after the flesh and do those things which would bring trouble and heartache upon our loved ones. They brought them, they cast them into the den of lions, and what happened? And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. In other words, as soon as they threw them in, those lions just pounced upon them and tore them to pieces. See, that totally dispels any argument that anybody might have that those lions just weren't hungry when Daniel was in there. God in his almighty power delivered Daniel from these lions who had the mastery of those men and their wives and all their children. All right? Now we're about done. Notice this next statement. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. This was a vast empire. This was the known world at that time. And there were many nations, there were many languages, there were many cultures, but he's sending this out to the known world that dwell in all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. You catch this? I make a decree. Now, he had just signed something, but he didn't make that decree. Not long before that, they brought something to him and convinced him to sign it, and he signed it, but it wasn't his decree. It wasn't thought out by him. It wasn't something that he formulated and thought about and decided that it was going to be good for the realm. No, he had just signed it. And he was sorry that he had. But now, I make a decree that in every dominion in my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Notice he didn't exalt Daniel. He exalted his God. Because God's the one who gets all the glory in this. And he's the same God today. He's the one who gets all the glory today. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in the earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that we that are blessed to know the truth, what a blessing that would be if we had such a law in our land today. Now, I know a law is not going to change hearts. But bless your hearts, there was a time when there was a high regard for this same God in our culture. But now, those in high places, I'm not going to say all of them, we've got some good folks still there, but it seems like enough of them to get the majority and to do what they want to do have another God beside the God of Daniel. What are we to do? What can we do? Is it all lost? It wasn't lost in Daniel's day. It wasn't lost in Joseph's day. Bless your hearts. We have the same God who is the same true and living God, who is able to deliver us from the power of the lions and the power of whatever else comes against us in our day. What a tremendous witness Darius made. You see, he had seen it. See, that's what a witness is. If somebody's going to witness to you about something, they need to witness about something they've seen. And this king, of his own volition, made this decree because of what he had seen. He had seen deliverance by the true and living God. And he sent that out to all the realm, all the known world at that time. The last verse of the chapter, so... And don't pass over that word so quickly. So, this Daniel prospered because of this, because of his innocency, because of his believing in God, because of his faithfulness, because of how he had lived his life. He prospered. What happened to those who were deceitful? What happened to those that wanted to get rid of Daniel? They were destroyed. Do you think that principle is still alive today? Now, I know there are many times we say, how long, Lord? How long are you going to wait? How long will you not judge? I know we hear that a lot. We probably think that a lot. But bless your hearts, God will do in his own time. But he is controlled. So this Daniel, because of this, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, we'd already talked about the Babylonians. Then we talked about the Medo-Persians, all right, or the Medes, and now the Persians are coming into view. Cyrus is going to be the one that God's going to stir him up and issue the decree that the Jews should go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And what that does is marks the end of the 70 years of captivity. And it also marks the time from when Daniel was taken into captivity and taken over into Babylon. And then when he served all those kings, and then when it comes time for him to serve Cyrus, and bless your hearts, then will be the end. Jeremiah had prophesied of the 70 years of captivity, and it spanned the time from Nebuchadnezzar to Cyrus. And who was having such a tremendous influence on the affairs of the world? Daniel was being faithful to God and was being blessed, and so this Daniel prospered. And bless your hearts, we can prosper today by being faithful to God. Now, very quickly, These principles apply to all aspects. We saw how that how Daniel being faithful was delivered, but those men who did deceitfully, they were destroyed. Their wives were destroyed. Their family was destroyed. In other words, if we're not going to build upon the solid rock and observe the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, then we're building on sand, we're foolish, we're going to fall when trouble comes. So you could take these principles, you can apply them to your life, you can apply them to your work life, you can apply them to your relationship with your spouse, you can apply them to your family. I mean, these principles work. Because what are we talking about? Being faithful to God, serving God first. And He will give us the wisdom that we need for all these other aspects of our life. All right? So, first of all, Daniel remained faithful. Right? All throughout this lesson, we find he remained faithful. He remained innocent. He had peace with God, and he enjoyed peace with those, with the kings under whom he reigned. He had peace with God, and he had peace with them. What a blessing, because he remained innocent. He remained in God's protective care. What a tremendous lesson we've seen in Daniel chapter 6 of God protecting someone that's faithful to Him. He remained in prayer. And this is an outstanding characteristic of Daniel. He remained in prayer. Even when he heard of the writing, the decree that meant that he would be cast into a den of lions, he continued to pray. The lesson to us is to build that habit into our lives and pray to God daily, pray earnestly daily, and when trouble comes, you won't have to figure out how to do it. You're already close to the Lord. You're already walking in His will. You're already trusting in His deliverance. And one more, what a tremendous witness this turned out to be to the whole kingdom of the Medes, to all the known world that day. You remember those words? I won't go back and read them again, but remember that decree that Darius made, that everybody is to worship the God of Daniel. Now, I'm sure that didn't happen with everybody, but that was the law. That was a wonderful admonition that was based upon what he had seen as God displayed his mighty power. And so Daniel prospered into the reign of Cyrus, which to the Jews meant deliverance back to Jerusalem so that they could rebuild. We can take that in our lives and remember that we can prosper here until we receive that deliverance of taking us home to be free from all the sins and the sorrows that we have to face in this world. Oh, may God help us to remember the example that we have in Scripture, the great power that God manifested in showing His faithfulness in return to Daniel, who trusted his God and was a tremendous witness in a world that was against him. We can learn a lot from that, can't we? May God bless you, is our prayer.